My name is Paul Losch, and I'm Lutheran campus pastor at Syracuse University. And I suppose my credentials for leading this session on the new Lutheran Book of Worship would include the fact that I'm one of 12 elected members of the LCA's Division for Parish Services, which is the agency in LCA which receives and transmits and acts upon worship materials as well as educational materials and stewardship materials and others. But in any event, I have, for the last 5 or 6 years now, been part of the group in the LCA, which is responsible for reviewing and receiving and transmitting, approving to the church, to the LCA that is, new worship materials. And so I have had that kind of a hand in the production of the new book, which is to appear next year, but I have not been on the Inter-Lutheran Commission on Worship, ILCW, in any of its committees. So if you want to challenge me or attack me, well, I feel free and I won't take it personally. Let me give you a little bit of history, then tell you what the new book will look like, and then we'll throw it open for questions and discussion. I assume this will be chiefly an informational type session, but if you want to get into the theology of it and argue about that or fight about it, I'm willing. It all began about 10 years ago now when the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of all groups, invited the other Lutheran churches in North America, including the ALC, the LCA, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Canada, to come together to prepare common materials for worship, including a common hymnal. And the other churches accepted Missouri Synod's invitation. And so for the last approximately 10 years, there has been a commission representing all of those four churches, ALC, LCA, Missouri Synod, and Evangelical Lutheran Church of Canada, called the Inter-Lutheran Commission on Worship, ILCW. And from its beginnings, its chairman has been ALC campus pastor Cliff Nelson, and the project director and, I suppose, guiding theological light behind it has been an ALC pastor, now LCA, named Gene Brand, although I suppose there have been a host of other people influential in its making, including, for instance, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod theologian and parish pastor Hans Boringer, whom some of you may know. Anyhow, the LCA, or the ILCW, from the beginning, divided itself into four working groups. A committee on liturgical texts, another committee on liturgical music, a third committee on hymn texts, and a fourth committee on hymn music. And it was these four committees working, as I say, the last 10 years, which have brought fruit now in the new proposed Lutheran Book of Worship, which is to be published next summer with the idea of it being put to use in the churches in Advent of 78. That's next Advent, not this coming Advent, but the next Advent. So it's really right upon us. It's an imminent thing. If everything goes smoothly, and there's every indication that everything will go smoothly, it may be that a Dallas Missouri Synod may act to delay, but nobody projects, I don't think at this point, to actually cancel their participation, because the new book represents, as the Lutheran Forum magazine has said, the most tested and consulted and revised and everything else you can think of, worship forms that have ever been produced, I suppose, by any church for its people. In the past 10 years, the ILCW, I'll use using those initials this evening, Inter-Lutheran Commission on Worship, has produced 10 volumes of experimental material for use in the churches. And some of it was frankly experimental, of the type, well, let's run it up a flagpole and see if anybody salutes, that kind of thing. And some of it was successful and some of it wasn't so successful in the testings. Let me show you what those books look like, and you may have seen them in your home parish. First of all, Contemporary Worship Number 1, Hymns. These were published in the Contemporary Worship series, so you'll hear people talk about CW1. That means Contemporary Worship Number 1. This was a set of new hymns, including Now and including They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love and Her Brokerings, Earth and All Stars, that kind of stuff. 21 hymns in this collection. Then Contemporary Worship 2, the volume which has probably received the widest circulation, Services of Holy Communion. And there was an order for Holy Communion and four musical settings in this book. Some of you may have seen it or used it. Holden Village has it and has used it here as well in past years. This is now a full 7 years old, if you can imagine. It disappeared in 1970. Hard to think how quickly time flies. Contemporary Worship 3, CW3, was the marriage service, and that's received a wide use and wide popularity, I should say. Most pastors and most couples and families who have used it have found it very, very useful and very well done. Contemporary Worship number 4 was Hymns for Baptism and Holy Communion. And there's some nifty stuff in here, too, which has now found its way into the proposed new book. Contemporary Worship 5 was the only bomb in the series. This was called Services of the Word. And right from the beginning, there were a lot of people who thought it never should have been published, but it was. And the idea was that we need a service that isn't Matins and isn't Vespers, but isn't the communion either, and provides for steeping the congregation in Scripture, including not only in the readings, but also in canticles and psalms, and also an opportunity for proclamation and preaching. So 4 services of the Word were published in CW5, a service of the Word for Advent, a service of the Word for Christmas, a service of the Word for Lent, a service of the Word for Easter, 6 of them were in there, and 2 services for general use, presumably during the Pentecost season after Trinity. As I say, nobody paid a great deal of attention to it, although there's some lovely music in here, including music to the canticles, such as Te Deum, and some brand new canticles, too, which you've never heard of, maybe. Anyhow, that did not receive a very good review in most places. The church year calendar and lectionary was Contemporary Worship 6, and this has just revolutionized American Lutheran church life. If you do not know it and do not use it in your congregation, you should, because it represents an ecumenical calendar and an ecumenical series of readings. The Roman Catholics were the very first, but soon after, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, who am I forgetting? The Koku churches, the churches in the Consultation on Church Union, which includes the Evangelical and Reformed and the Moravian and so on. Anyhow, all of these have done their versions of what is essentially the same calendar, providing for a 3-year series of readings. Every year now, in most of our churches, in my own tradition, and yours too, I'm sure, you were used to going back, you see, to the same epistle and gospel every year on a given date. Well, this new calendar and lectionary provides for a 3-year cycle. So we have a year of Matthew, a year of Mark, and a year of Luke in the gospel readings. And it's very useful to be able to follow Matthew Sunday by Sunday and see how he tells the story of Jesus. So with Mark, so with Luke. Year A is the year of Matthew, year B is the year of Mark, year C is the year of Luke. The Gospel of John is split up through all 3 years, mostly and chiefly during the Easter season. So John does not have a year all to himself. The Old Testament lesson in every instance is related to the Gospel for the day, finding an Old Testament theme that prefigures in some way or other the Gospel. And the second reading, what we used to call the Epistle, is again from the epistles of Paul and from the epistles in the New Testament. It is unrelated to the other two readings, but it is frequently in course reading. In other words, you'll be reading through Romans Sunday by Sunday, or you'll be reading through Philippians Sunday by Sunday, 5 or 10 verses at a time. And that's, again, a very useful thing. As I say, this has revolutionized our church life, and we ought to make the most of it. It's a splendid new system, and it's received a lot of good response. I should say also that there's a psalm for the day appointed in each instant, not simply a little introit, which you see is a kind of vestigial psalm, but a full psalm appointed for every day, and then a marvelous calendar of what they're calling commemorations. That is to say, heroes and heroines of the faith, whom we might well remember on their death day, the day of their entering into glory, and who are not necessarily biblical. It has the biblical saints, including new to ALC and LCA, for instance, Mary Magdalene. The Missouri Synod had the day for Mary Magdalene for a long time, but ALC and LCA had not in the red book, in this book. But now we do. But we've also got the possibility, for instance, of celebrating the day of Michelangelo, or Martin Luther King, Jr., or John Mason Neal, hymn writer, or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, martyr, or Albert Schweitzer. And if you're in a situation, as we are here in Holden, when there are daily services held, there's no reason why we couldn't refer to these people and remember them. Florence Nightingale, Renewer of Society, Dag Hammarskjöld, Peacemaker. And for all of these people, in the back of the volume, a little biography, about a paragraph long, telling you about him. Do you know about Bernard Clairvaux? I didn't, but it tells you a little bit about him in here. Okay, that was CW6. CW7, Contemporary Worship 7, was Holy Baptism, and that again got very fine response in the churches. CW8, Contemporary Worship 8, Affirmation of the Baptismal Covenant, was the awkward title they first chose for confirmation, but you'll be happy to know that the old title Confirmation is once again going to be back with us and appear in the Green Book. However, it's understood not simply as a once-in-a-lifetime type thing, but as renewable. There might be occasions in your life when you want to renew your baptism. And confirmation, of course, would be one of those times at age 12 or 13 or 14, but you might want to do it at other times as well in your life. Contemporary Worship 9 is Daily Prayer of the Church, and this is too a rather significant revision of what Lutherans are used to. Daily Prayer of the Church is what we used to call Matins and Vespers, and those titles will still pertain in the new Lutheran Book of Worship, but the full title will be called Morning Prayer, and then in parenthesis underneath, Matins. And then Evening Prayer, and in parenthesis underneath, Vespers. Along with those, there will be responsive prayer number 1 and number 2, what we used to call the suffrages. We're trying to, in most of the new materials, they're trying to do away with antique words that no longer make sense to most modern Americans, anyhow. So instead of calling them the suffrages, and people get wondering, what's suffrage? Anyhow, they're calling them responsive prayer number 1 for the morning and responsive prayer number 2 for afternoon and evening. Furthermore, a new edition, Compline, that is to say, the bedtime prayer of the church. Lovely historic office of prayer and praise, which some of you may know from retreats and conferences. Morning prayer and evening prayer, matins and vespers, incidentally, have been fairly radically revised in the direction of a more traditional service, that is to say, in the direction of the service from monastic experience, including, for instance, at the end of Matins, the possibility for the Easter proclamation, what's called the Paschal Blessing, to conclude Matins, and to introduce Vespers, a service of light, Lucernarium, which is a very lovely service with a big candle, and the congregation perhaps having candles, the entrance of light in our darkness. It's Vespers is a very lovely service. That's Contemporary 9. Contemporary 10, I don't have with me, I'm sorry to say, that's fresh off the press, and that's Burial of the Dead and Committal. Okay, those are the 10 volumes in what was called the Contemporary Worship Series. And much of it, as I say, was of the nature of a kind of trial balloon. Contemporary Worship number 5, for instance, the services of Holy Communion, quite radically altered the structure of the communion as we were used to it, for instance, from the Red Book, and suggested that the office of confession and forgiveness, for instance, be put in the middle of the service, after the hearing of the word and before the communion. They thought maybe there were theological problems with, for instance, beginning worship with confession as if you had to make yourself right with God before you could come into his presence, that kind of thing. So there's psychological and as well as theological issues at stake. Anyhow, it didn't sell. People didn't like it there. So in the new book, it's going to be back at the beginning of the service as we're used to it from the Red Book. Well, the new book, as I say, serving on the committee for the LCA as I do, twice a year for 3 days we've been wading through material like this. This represents the new liturgical materials in the new book. That's my own decoration on the cover. That's not necessarily how the book will look. And this is the new hymnal, some 535 new hymns. Perhaps I will Xerox the list of hymns and put it on the board. Would that be useful to you yes. The next couple of days? See if you got some old favorites in there and see if some of your old favorites are missing. When you're dealing with committees that represent all these different traditions and churches, you're going to have to trade off, you see, and pay a price. And you'll probably find some of your old favorites missing, but not many of them, really. And I think we'll be greatly enriched by the stuff that we've been adding to our tradition that we've never had before in all four of the churches. The Red Book, for instance, has 23 hymns by John Backus Dykes, and that's probably 31 too many. So I don't think we'll miss a great deal of that kind of thing. But LCA and ALC types, for instance, are going to be greatly enriched by a lot of the German chorales that Missouri has had all along, but we haven't got in the Red Book. And Missouri, for its part, will be greatly enriched by the ecumenical treasures that ALC and LCA have had in here, and also in new stuff that's been rediscovered and written, too, since the Lutheran Hymnal, as Missouri calls their book, was published. Okay, I've got on the wall here the contents of the Lutheran Book of Worship and the outline of the service of the Holy Communion as it appears, and then the context of what's being called the Minister's Edition, which is the altar book, so to speak, which is slightly different from the pew copy or the congregational edition. You should know that it'll be approximately 960 pages, so it'll be about this thick. It'll be 6 inches by 9 inches, however. This volume is 5.5 by 8.5. So the new book is going to be a little bigger. Can you see this? About a half inch bigger on the top and a half inch bigger on the side. You see that? And it's going to be green. Yeah. Exactly what color green, what shade of green, I'm not certain. Don't think anyone is yet. It will include a table of contents, a brief introduction, a couple of pages to the liturgy and hymns, then the calendar, including the calendar of the seasons, like Easter and Christmas and so on, and also the Sundays, Sunday by Sunday, and then the major and lesser festivals, including the commemorations that appeared in here. Then the propers, that is to say, the citations for first lesson, second lesson, and gospel and psalm, for the Sundays, festivals, commemorations, and special occasions, such as Thanksgiving, Day of National Thanksgiving, those kind of days. The brief order for confession and forgiveness, which may or may not precede the service. It's an optional use in the new service. You don't have to have the confession and forgiveness every Sunday. Then the Holy Communion itself in three musical settings. The first by Richard Hillard of Concordia River Forest, the second by Ron Nelson of St. Louis Park in Minneapolis, and the third, a combination of the second setting in here and the third setting in CW2, that is Regina Frixell's work and Gerhard Kartford's work, both of them combined to retain what was a very, very useful and enduring musical setting, the second musical setting here. That's retained as the third setting of Holy Communion in the new red book. I should say that I've got all three of them here, and Sig in the record library has the music on a disc if you'd like to play the music. It's slightly changed, but not greatly. You might want to take a look at this, incidentally. I'll pass this around. These are, note up in the corner here, the first setting, the third setting, the second setting. It's a very handsome format. This is a facsimile of what the book will look like. And some of the wording has been changed since this was published, so don't quote it, so to speak. But it's a very handsome publishing job with a little red box, you'll notice, those of you who have it in your hands. A little red box. Paul Hain, pass that around that side. Around alternate parts. So there's no question about the optional uses. It's really very, very lovely print job. I don't know of any service book or hymnal of any denomination in the world that has a handsomer and easier to follow service than this one will be. Okay, three musical settings plus the choral service. I'm still at number six here. Choral service is the old Liedmesse. That is, this was a German Lutheran tradition. Instead of singing the Kyrie or the Gloria in Excelsis, you'd sing a hymn paraphrase of that. And on one page, at that part of the book, there's going to be an outline. If you want to use a Liedmesse, if you want to use a choral service, then sing this hymn you see in lieu of the Kyrie, and this hymn in lieu of Glory Be to God on High, and this hymn in lieu of Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. That kind of thing. Holy Baptism will appear. One service of the Word. They're retaining one of these services of the Word, a kind of general thing with optional uses for the various seasons of the year. Then daily prayer, which includes morning prayer, evening prayer, compline, the bedtime prayer of the church, and responsive prayer 1 and 2. Then the litany, set to music once again. Morning prayer, evening prayer, compline are all set to music, incidentally. Very, very lovely musical settings. Then the propers for daily services, including daily lectionary. And for instance, if you have a situation, as we do here at Holden, on a Sunday where we have the Holy Communion in the evening but sung matins in the morning, can be different lessons. Should be different lessons, but related. Related. Then the order for confession and forgiveness, both corporate and individual. Two forms for confession, including the possibility for individual confession with the pastor. Confirmation, reception, and restoration. Order for marriage, order for burial of the dead, and committal. Psalm tones and the psalms, pointed for singing. The psalms in this book are not pointed for singing, and they're not a very complete psalter either. The new psalter will be almost complete. I think There's something like 30 psalms that will not appear in the Psalter, but it will be pointed in a way that they can be sung by a congregation, a very simple and lovely way. And the tones for that singing will be also in this book. Canticles such as Magnificat, My Soul Magnifies the Lord, and the Song of the Three Young Men in the Fiery Furnace, All Ye Works of the Lord, Bless Ye the Lord, including a couple of new canticles that have not appeared in our books before. Hymns, about, as I say, 530 of them. Indexes, including first line index, tune index, meter index, author index, and composer index, and then finally acknowledgments. I'm not going to go through the contents of the minister's edition, other than to say that it will have many, many more indexes, for instance, including topical indexes and lectionary indexes. You want to know where Isaiah 53 is used on what Sunday or what festival or holiday? Well, you can look up Isaiah 53 and there it'll tell you. Third Sunday in Lent of year A. That kind of thing. Furthermore, the minister's edition will have all the psalms pointed for singing, and it will have a marvelous set of services for Holy Week and Easter. Lent, Holy Week and Easter. Service for Ash Wednesday, including the option of imposing ashes on the forehead. A service of palms with a procession for Palm Sunday. Service of Holy Communion for Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, including the option of foot washing. You can do some foot washing here in Holden Village on Saturday if you're around there. A service of penitence on Good Friday, including the reproaches. And a vigil, an Easter vigil. It's a very, very lovely service. So that's what the minister's edition will have. And then the service itself, the Holy Communion itself, as I say, has been revised from CW2, which, as I said, was a kind of experimental thing, more in the direction of the historic tradition, more in the direction of the Red Book, that is the service book and hymnal and the Lutheran hymnal of Missouri Synod. So this is your old friend back again. You'll recognize it, Brief Order for Confession and Forgiveness, followed by Entrance Hymn. The Confession and Forgiveness is understood as a kind of preparation for the worship, and then the worship itself beginning with the Entrance Hymn. Greeting by the minister to the people and their response, Kyrie, Lord have mercy, in peace let us pray to the Lord. You recognize that in the little booklet I'm sending around. Then the Hymn of Praise, which could be either Glory to God in the Highest or This is the Feast of Victory for our God, specially appropriate at Easter. Lord be with you and with thy spirit, and also with you. Prayer of the day, the old collect for the day. First lesson, second lesson, and gospel with the psalm between the first lesson and the second lesson. And an alleluia verse or tract between the second lesson and the gospel. And that could be congregational or it could be sung by the choir. Directly after the gospel, the sermon is to be preached in this order. However, there is a rubric, if you will note, that allows you to sing the hymn before the sermon rather than after, if you would prefer. It's nice to read the gospel and then preach on it. Having done it now a couple of years, I think that makes a good deal of sense. As I say, you have the option, though, of singing the hymn before the sermon. The hymn is understood to be a hymn of the day. That kind of a help lead. Then Creed, Nicene or Apostles' Creed. The prayers or intercessions, the peace, the offertory, I forgot that in my listing here, but let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and what shall I render to the Lord are both options there. The preface and the proper preface for the day or season and the sanctus, holy, holy, holy. The prayer of thanksgiving of the minister and the words of institution and the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, incidentally, will appear always in all of the services in the wording that you grew up with as well as the new translation in parallel columns like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. In the right-hand column, left-hand column, the new translation, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Kind of a compromise to make sure nobody's offended. The communion itself then, the Nunc Dimittis as an optional part, or thank the Lord and sing his praise, one of the hymns that came out of CW2. Post-communion prayer, three choices of post-communion prayer, benediction and final dismissal. It's the layman, it's the layperson who has the last word in this service. Go in peace, serve the Lord. And the people respond, thanks be to God. Then there's an option, alternate ending, for use when there is no communion. And that would include, create in me a clean heart, O God, the offertory and the offering and the prayers and the final benediction. So, I think I'll quit. That's what the new book is going to look like in its broad contours. If you want to ask me questions, I'll try to answer them.
Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, what you call it, Worship Supplement.
Yes.
I am not that familiar with Worship Supplement, Compline, but it's quite likely that it would be. If you want to take a look at it, here it is. Now, let me give you this. Oh, you can find it quicker than I can. It's in there.
Will the verse be printed between the music, or will the verses be separated from
yes.
the music as they have been in the past?
As much as possible, the words will be between the staffs of music. There are some hymns, however, with 9 or 10 stanzas where they won't be able to squeeze all the stanzas in between, and they'll have to do something like this. But most often, the words will appear between the music. Same with the liturgy, I should say. Yes.
We can jump to the quickest controversy. What are some of the more important hymns that were left out?
Well, the one that I'm saddest about is Once to Every Man a Nation. Missouri, we just wouldn't buy that. The tune of that will be in the book, however. In fact, it'll be in the book twice. But the text by James Russell Lowell was just too heterodox for our Missouri brothers. That second stanza, toiling up new Calvary's ever, they seem to think that this was implying.
You read that text.
It's a fabulous.
It's the most self-righteous text.
I like it, though. We have so few hymns. We have so few hymns that have to do with a social conscience that I kind of like it. You can always mimeograph it, I guess. That's the one that I'll miss the most. Pardon?
How about Pass Me Not?
Pass Me Not, a General Savior. I don't think that made it. Now, let me check. How Great Thou Art is in, if you're a fan of that. Pass Me Not, a Gentle Savior. Let's take a look. Nope. That didn't make it.
Any other of the more controversial ones that have been left out that you just haven't known of?
No, We Are One in the Spirit. They tried to get that in, but there were copyright problems, by which they mean it just cost too much. There is a terrible expense for some of these, particularly the new hymns.
Will the songs that are used, let's see here, well, the song between the first lesson and the second lesson, is that a song that's used by the congregation, or is that a song that's sung by the choir?
It could be either way. The preferred way of doing it would be with the congregation taking part. Either alternating or with the cantor singing the verses and the people singing a refrain. There are lots of lovely ways of singing the Psalms. And it would be the hope of the people who published the book that the Psalms would be sung or said, preferably sung, by the congregation, at least in a response type way, every Sunday. And the translation that's to be used, incidentally, is the translation which the Episcopal Church has settled on for its new proposed Book of Common Prayer. And it's a lovely, singable translation. And it's very reverent. And there will be no beseeches and vouchsafes and that kind of stuff, and the these and the thous, needless to say, are taken off, and the endings, the Shakespearean endings there. It's all modern English.
How will the pastors be encouraged to use... if a pastor will use the new liturgy, the congregation will usually follow.
Right.
It's harder to convince them.
You should know, over in the library, there's a brochure that looks like this that you might want to take a look at. For what, 6 years now, 5 years anyhow, there have been a series of summer conferences sponsored by the worship desk of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, ALC, and LCA, the three worship desks, that have been attempting to introduce all this new material to the churches. And if you have the time yet this summer, sign up for one of these and attend, because that's one way that the material has been introduced to the churches. Another way will be next summer a series of 1,000 different conferences. They've divided the membership of all the four churches, ALC, LCA, Missouri Synod, and Lutheran Church of Canada, into clusters of 18 congregations. And the idea, the hope would be that every group of 18 congregations in a given geographical area would be getting together with a theologian, a homiletician, a music man, and a liturgiologist to introduce this material and how it's used to them in a small group type setting. I should say, too, that the leader's edition, the minister's edition of the book, has extensive notes on all the services and how they can be used and the optional ways that they can be used and so on.
the AELC going to be in on the, I suppose the organization that can't be in for fear of offending Missouri?
I don't know whether their name will appear on the title page, if that's what you mean. I really don't know. I would assume that most people in AELC would be sympathetic to the new book. I also heard a statistic about a month ago that, that there were five candidates, am I saying this right, five candidates for presidency of Missouri Synod, among them Jacob Preuss. I mean, he's up for re-election, isn't that so? But there are four others, I think, who are challenging him or who have been put up anyhow as shadow candidates. But they were interviewed. I got this in a news release from the Lutheran Council USA. And it was only Meyer, is it Walter Meyer or Paul Meyer?
Walter
Meyer. It was only Meyer who was absolutely negative about the book, and apparently Jake Preuss and all the others said that they'd swing with it.
Preuss has since said other things.
He's since said other things, so.
Yeah, but the other men that were up for that, who were interviewing the Missourian Perspective, were very much in favor of him, though. But I just talked to my brother, who's a musician in Missouri, and feeling among the folks there is that Missouri's not going to go with it. And the musicians are furious.
That'd be a shame because they Missouri's been part of it, you know, from the beginning.
You never know, though.
Made such contributions.
You don't know what will happen.
That's true.
He wasn't very optimistic.
I've heard
those other guys should win, but that would be incredible.
The LCA has taken action that they'll go ahead with the book with the majority of Lutherans in North America, which is another way of saying that if Missouri drops out, we'll still go ahead with it with ALC. And I've heard it said that Augsburg is so hot to publish it that they'll do it on their own. If ALC, LCA, and Missouri, if the whole thing falls apart, they'll still publish it.
And then they'll go bankrupt.
And then what?
Then they'll go bankrupt because they want everyone to sell their
business. Well, I don't know. I've heard that there are a lot of, particularly ALC congregations, but maybe others too, who are very, very eager to get their hands on it. With the history that the Red Book never was widely accepted, apparently, except in the Northeast, even among LCA, apparently. There has been this, I have heard, and I've heard it from people whose opinion I respect, that this book has always been looked at with suspicion in other sections of Lutheranism than the Northeast, and maybe even than the Northeast LCA. This was really a Northeast book. Very Anglophilic, Anglican chant and all that kind of stuff. And the Norwegians and Swedes in the Midwest just never were very enthusiastic about this, in the way that they are presumably more enthusiastic now about this. The corollary of that is that the Northeast now, the LCA particularly, they're all, their nose is out of joint about the new stuff, and they're grumbling. What do we need a new book? Green, yeah. I'm not certain what shade of green, but... Isn't she something?
Green and pretty yellow.
Yeah. She was at Holden?
No, we were at another conference.
Oh.
She was one of the speakers.
Incredible.
Paul?
Yes?
Do you know what the retail price of the various editions will be?
Oh, Lord, no. That's not to be announced, I don't think, until this fall. I have heard that they're trying to keep it below $10. Doesn't that sound gruesome? Hard to say. This book, when it came out, was what, $3, $4? I mean, really quite reasonable. But that was 20 years ago.
Could you list some of the newer hymns that are being included?
Yeah, sure. We sang some the other day, and if we have another hymn sing one of these mornings, we'll sing some more. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is appearing in a new translation, two new translations, as a matter of fact. The thought of the hymn text committee was, it's about time that Lutherans gave to the rest of Christendom their own version of A Mighty Fortress. You may know how we got this version in this book. The people who compiled this book in 58, or for publication in 58, looked at what all the Lutherans in America were using to sing A Mighty Fortress. And there was no group that agreed with the other group. In other words, the Missouri had their own translation, old ULCA had its translation, old Augustana had its translation. I mean, it was just incredible chaos. and the only way they could resolve it was take a Presbyterian translation, namely Hedges. So that's what appears in here, a Presbyterian translation, so to speak, of A Mighty Fortress. Now, some bright fellow, I don't know who, has translated A Mighty Fortress into contemporary English for our own book, and it's going to appear in two versions, including the rhythmic, which is the more original one, as well as the straight isometric bing, bing, bing. The rhythmic version of A Mighty Fortress, Missouri has had it in its hymnal for a long time, but it's new to ALC and LCA, and it's really lively. Boy, it really makes you sit up and take notice. So that's one. Amazing Grace is another. That's not been in our book, and now it will be. Wondrous Love. Come, let us eat, for now the feast is spread. Have you heard that one? Oh, that's African. Nifty hymn. Should we learn that? We could learn this right on the spot. In a minute, if you want to. I'll teach it to you. You can learn it without words in front of you. Come, thou fount of every blessing. He sang that. Earth and all stars, her broke rings hymn. How great thou art, as I say.
But it's not the tune that you sing here.
There are two tunes. Even in contemporary one, there were two tunes. Jan Bender wrote one, and David Johnson wrote the second, and it's the David Johnson tune that they're keeping, the one without the claps.
Yeah.
You like the claps?
I like the other one.
You like the claps, yeah. The claps is nice, but this is nice. Earth and all stars, loud rushing planets, sing to the Lord a new song. That's Ronald Nelson, or that's, what's his name? David Johnson's. So that'll be in the book. I bind unto myself today. Do you know St. Patrick's Breastplate? Marvelous hymn in Worship Supplement of Missouri Synod, as well as some other sources. Terrific hymn of St. Patrick, presumably. In Adam we have all been one. This is a shape note tune and text from white. It's what you might call a white spiritual rather than a Negro or black spiritual. In Christ There Is No East or West, with the Negro spiritual McKee tuned to it. That's very lively. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, Beethoven. Now thank we all our God, both rhythmic and isometric. Now the green blade riseth. Do you know that Easter hymn? Lovely thing. Should be danced. Now the green blade riseth from the berry grain. We eat that in dark earth many days has lain. It's a lovely one. Now the silence. Now the peace. That's Carl Schalk and Jerry Vida's hymn. Lovely thing. Oh, wondrous type, oh, vision fair, Deo gratias, do you know the Agincourt hymn, Henry V? Oh, boy, that's a strong one. That hasn't been in our book before. Sent forth by God's blessing, the ash grove. Sent forth by God's blessing, la, 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 la. It's not been in any of our hymnals up until now. The Lord's My Shepherd, Brother James Eyre. Have you sung that in a choir, Brother James Eyre? Lovely tune for the 23rd Psalm paraphrase. They cast their nets in Galilee. Do you know that? That's a contemporary spiritual, and Jerry Evenroot has set that to music in the new book. To God the Holy Spirit let us pray, nun bitten wir den Heiligen Geist. Again, a Missouri hymnal, German chorale. It's a wonderful, strong thing. 'Twas in the moon of wintertime. Do you know that? American Indian hymn, a Christmas carol. 'Twas in the moon of wintertime. You know that? Some of your little kids may have sung it. That's new. We Who Once Were Dead. Do you know that? Dutch hymn. Oh, fabulous. Just breaks your heart. Beautiful text. Is Tom with us or Beanie? Wish somebody would play this for us. Great hymn. What Wondrous Love. With High Delight Let Us Unite. That's not in the Red Book anyhow. With the Lord Begin Your Task. Those are some new ones.
Is there twice as many Negro spirituals than there was in the Red Book?
Boy, I'm not sure about twice as many, but there's a good selection. They've tried to get an ethnic mix, including, you know, Slovak and Polish and that kind of stuff, hymns that haven't been in collections.
Yes, but there was one in the Red Book, and I heard there were supposed to be two.
Oh, yeah, there are three or four. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Yeah.
What else can I tell you?
One other thing for the prayer of the day, are you using the ones straight out of CW6, or are there the traditional ones? Or
you mean the collect?
Right.
The ones in CW6 have been substantially revised, again, in the direction of the tradition. These were felt to be a little too
untraditional. So in most instances where there has been a revision from CW6, it has been back toward the, let's take Pentecost 5, for instance. That's this lovely thing, who has prepared for them that love thee such good things as past man's understanding, pour into our hearts such love for thee that we, loving thee above all things, may obtain thy promises which exceed all that we can ask or desire. Okay, you know that? That's in the red book. Here's how it's going to appear now in the green book. In this book, it was a freaky, completely different one. But now, as I say, going back in the direction of the tradition, O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Short termination of the prayers in almost every instance.
And they're dropping the world without end?
Yeah.
Read the one of those. Advent 1.
Advent 1. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. They put back the stirrups. there are three of the four colics in the red book, anyhow, that are stirrup colics. And they dropped a couple of them in this, and they're retaining them now again. Stir up your Lord of power and come. Protect us by your strength and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a long termination, isn't it? In almost every instance, the revisions were in the conservative direction. However, they've kept enough options, and the rubrics allow enough flexibility that if you want to, you can have quite a experimental-type service. It's quite similar to CW2. For instance, you don't have to use the confession at the beginning of the service. What else? You don't have to use the Kyrie. The Kyrie is a may rubric rather than a shall rubric. The Agnus Dei is a may rubric. You don't have to sing, O Christ, O Lamb of God. So if you exercise certain options, in other words, it could be quite conservative. If you exercise other options, it could be quite radical or different. Yes?
In our church, we got the communion part of the service to practice, you know, when we sent it around to the different.
Mm-hmm. Was it this, do you know?
I don't think so. It didn't look like this anymore.
Did it look like this? Was it just, did it have music in it? Let's ask that. It might look like this, and feel free to take a look at that.
Well, we found one time that we had a lot of older people in our church, and they couldn't stand up long enough. You know, there was a lot of standing, and the prayers were long, and the service part was, we felt, too long.
Hmm.
And we were wondering if they, did they revise this at all?
The longest prayer is the prayer of thanksgiving, I think, the prayer at the communion with the bread and the cup, and that has been shortened over against this. This prayer in CW2 was thought to be a little too long. So much of the same content and sense of it was put into the prayer in here, but it's briefer. Now the intercessions, the prayer of the church, so to speak, that does not appear as a text at all in the pew edition. I think it will appear in the Leader's Edition. But in the Pew Edition, there's just a suggestion, just an outline, you see, of the things that ought to be prayed for. Let me put my finger on it here. Yeah, prayers are included for the whole church, the nations, those in need, the parish. Prayers of confession may be included if a brief order for confession and forgiveness has not preceded the service. The assisting minister gives thanks for the faithful departed, especially those who have recently died. So it's just an outline, so to speak, of the prayer, for instance, that appears in here. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord. You know that? It goes on for paragraph after paragraph. It's a nice prayer, I should say. I don't want to knock it, but it is a fairly long one.
Are there many hymns with alternate melodies?
Boy, there you got me. I'm not sure I could answer you with much authority on that. I would guess not, except that in the case of certain chorales where there is both a rhythmic and an isometric version. Better not quote me. Yeah, right, right. I don't think that's going to be the case, at least so much.
One of the sayings is like of the old red book.
Correct, correct.
Is the number his the same?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Who has setting three there in this?
I'm holding it right now. It looks pretty similar to me, but the wording...
Lord, now you let your servant go in peace according to...
Got it?
Looks like the same thing.
They've had to change the meter a little bit, and in some instances also the melody, for the sake of the new words.
That old one always seemed almost unsingable to me.
The old one in the red book was unsingable?
Oh, for sure. Very that one, and it looks like it would be a lot easier to follow too, because the music is right.
Okay. Yes, for the liturgy, only the melody line is going to appear in the congregational book. So there will be an accompanist edition too, and that will include the.
Is the accompanist edition numbered the same way the minister's book is?
Yes, yes, they're going to make them. What's the word? Compatible.
Did they by any chance put Missouri's Te Deum in this new hymn? You know?
By that you mean from the Lutheran hymnal?
Yeah, from the Lutheran hymnal.
Boy, you got me. I would guess no. You like that one?
Well, it is just incredibly fun, yeah.
Uh-huh. If I scurry around in my books afterward, I probably can tell you what Te Deums are going to appear. I think there's a Richard Hillert Te Deum. And
sure,
I think
it's not in it because probably not. Is not beloved by himself.
Is there going to be another book put out in which everything that didn't get into this book?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it raises the issue: is this the book to end all books? To which my own answer would be, of course not. We're going to have to go through this every 20 years, I think, if not sooner. That is to say, I think we're living in such a cultural chaos right now that nothing is going to satisfy us very completely, including the Green Book. I'm not happy with the Red Book, but I'm already not altogether happy with what's coming out in the Green Book. And even if I were altogether happy with it, I think I still want to do some experiments and still have some alternate forms available at different seasons or for different congregations or types of groups. That would allow us just to experience some newness. So in my own ministry, I hope at Syracuse, for instance, to be using the Green Book when it comes out, but I'll probably still be using the Red Book, and we'll probably be using some experimental forms as well. And I would guess that'll pertain for another generation. Till the dust settles. Till the new age comes.
Paperback,
stuff like that. You should know that they went through that business. They fought it out in the early years of the committee. Should we go with the loose leaf thing? Or should we go just with a series of pamphlets like this? And they decided, no, it was too expensive. It's a hideously expensive publishing job to have a loose leaf hymnal. They're always messy. You can never be sure that the copy you've got in front of you in the pew is the complete one. There were just all kinds of problems with that. So they decided that the world was ready for a bound volume. Already, however, they're planning a companion to the new liturgy and a companion to the new hymnal. They're thinking in terms of occasional services book, agenda, that kind of thing. Great resources that we've never had before, really.
Can you think of some magic formula for interesting people in the liturgy, the liturgical service? And for interesting the pastors in learning the liturgical service other than on a Sunday morning when they're about ready to do it. For interesting the organist.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, other than coming at it with a pessimistic, we're getting a new book.
Yeah.
To working, you know.
The only advice I would have is send him to Holden and send him to a place like one of these conferences. Worship, you just have to catch like a disease. I mean, you have to experience it. And if your pastor or your church musician had been to the conference that I was at in Ontario a couple of weeks ago, my Lord, you'd have come out of there flying on the seventh cloud. I mean, it really was a emotional, spiritual, political, aesthetic high all week. I mean, we kept asking ourselves, surely we're going to bomb one of these nights.
We had worship every night according to the new Holy Week and Lenten Holy Week and Easter services. And, oh, they were just beautiful. And everybody agreed that they were, including people who had to be converted. I mean, I'm not going to like this, some people said. And they had to admit at the end, boy, that is great. Now, it was very carefully rehearsed, carefully introduced, explained, interpreted. You've got to have all that. We have to have a major and continuing effort in education in these kinds of things. But once that's there, boy, people catch the disease. And it really can put a congregation on fire. Something else.
I'd like to just see the
sure.
first setting.
The first setting, yeah. That's my favorite.
Well, I love the second.
That's
setting.
Richard Hiller.
The second setting looked terrific. Oh,
glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth.
The setting basically is music.
I've got the keyboard setting too, Julie.
Oh, never mind. I don't need to look.
And Beanie, we used it here at Holden last summer. And I'd be happy to put it to use here again this
Well, I don't read music, and so I was looking at the words, and I really like the second setting, but the setting means music, right? So the first setting says what the second
right.
setting is.
Same words in both
instances. Okay, that's neat.
Isn't
really
it nifty
like
graphics job? I mean, the guy who designed this is a genius.
I like the word.
Rubricated, that means the directions in red and the text in black ink. It's really handsome, I think, and very easy to use.
What does A stand for?
A is assisting minister, P is presiding minister, and C is congregation. I should have made that clear. It's going to be little symbols, A, P, and C, in the margin that tell who says what, and they're also going to be directions stand, sit, kneel.
Are these written such that the assisting minister is anticipated to be named?
Yes, in every instance. Even if there are two or three or four pastors in the congregation, the assisting minister should be a layperson, layman or laywoman. That's been one of the great gifts, I should say, of the past 10 years, convincing us that we ought to be involving lay people much more thoroughly and completely in leadership of worship than we have been. Every congregation ought to have lay people reading the lessons, for instance, every Sunday. But there are other roles for them too, and they're spelled out here.
In the pew edition, will it just contain the melody line, or will it contain all four of the
harmonizations? Harmonizations in most hymns now, in the case of plain song, for instance, it will indicate to be sung in unison, that kind of thing. But the other hymns will be four part.
And the liturgy will just be the.
S-A-T-B. Yeah, the liturgy will be just the melody line. The liturgy is intended to be sung in unison.
Did you say the third setting was a combination of the Red Book and Cartridge?
Right. For instance, in the alternate texts that don't appear in the Red Book, I think they use Cartridge. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord. For instance, I'm pretty sure that's Cartridge. That wasn't in the Red Book. What shall I render unto the Lord? That might be Cartridge too. The texts for the Lord's Prayer, the creeds, Nicene Creed and Apostles' Creed, Sanctus, Holy, 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 Agnus Dei, all those texts are ecumenical texts in the sense that it was the Lutherans, I believe, who suggested, 10 years ago now, an international consultation on English in the liturgy. And they invited all the English-speaking Christians around the world, including Roman Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, all of them, and in America and England and Australia and any place where they're speaking English. And a committee has been meeting over the years to provide new translations of those texts so that all the churches are singing the same words. And that's very nice. So those are the texts that appear in here. With, as I say, the exception that the Lord's Prayer is also in its traditional wording.